Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Good morning. Happy New Year from me to you. I haven't said that yet, but sure lots of people have said that to you already. And if not, well, happy to be the first. Anyway, welcome to Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. I'm your host this morning, Jesse, public affairs and talk coordinator here at the station, and very excited to be back for my first show of the year. And before we get into the show itself, I want to express my gratitude and happiness to be able to be here on the stolen, unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Stolo, Katsi, Coquitlam, and other Coast Salish peoples. Could not live where I live or do the things that I want to do here if it were not for the dispossession of the Indigenous peoples of the places we now call Canada and America. And I am very grateful for the inconceivable patience and just resilience of these people. Anyway, I have a bunch of stuff for you today. It is my first show of the new year. As I mentioned, I was in Saskatchewan for the holidays, well, for 6 days of the holidays, and that was fun. So I'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll hear a dive into the CJSF archives for a piece called Hearing the Voices of the Land, about the settling of the prairies by European folks, already lived in by the Indigenous people at the time, of course. So we'll get to that. I have a fun relic or souvenir from my time in the prairies that I will share with you. And we'll have some music from deep in CJSF's past. I'm going to look at two albums, both fairly influential in their own right, that turn, I guess, 28 this month, released in January of 1996. And as usual, a little bit of local music to start things off, and this is sort of local, sometimes local. The band Tough Age have their roots in Vancouver, moved to Toronto to take advantage of the more, well, differently active music scene, and have since come back a couple times, and now I believe make their home here in Vancouver, but they're country trotting, we'll say. They're Canadian at the very least. This is from Tough Age's new record, Waiting Here. It's not, I mean, it came out last year now, but it is still the newest thing we have from them. This is Which Way Am I? You know what? I'm going to let you listen to the song right from the very beginning instead of from halfway through. Here, let's try that again. Which Way Am I by Tough Age. Which way am I? All the clouds are falling down. Some of my love are the ones you can't describe. It'll be denied. It'll be sweet, like most Tough Age tracks. That's Which Way Am I by Tough Age from the record Waiting Here, right here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. That's right, Burnaby. I mentioned just moments ago that I spent my holidays in the prairies in Saskatchewan, mostly the Regina area, although a little bit of time down in Estevan. And on our way back, well, I guess I can talk about the trip itself, because it was nice. Not as cold as I had expected / feared. Snow on the ground, but it did not actually, no snow in the air while we were there. And, you know, temperatures, I think the coldest it got might have been 8 or 9 below. And that was at night. So unseasonably mild, I guess I was going to say warm, but even that's not warm. And yet, you know, it's still feels Christmassy when there's snow on the ground for me anyway. And it's always fun to go and experience another family's holiday traditions. Not something I had a ton of chances to do growing up, although here and there, you know, usually I had Christmas or New Year's with my own parents and sister. But it's always cool to go and see the timing of things, what people choose to eat, what movies they like to watch, what music they listen to, all these things that make people who they are. Very cool. So I was very grateful to be able to go and do that and spend time with my in-laws and my wonderful partner. And then, and also some friends who I have not seen in, well, since the last time I was in that part of the world, and that's always nice. But then on the trip back, we left Whitewood, the small town where the in-laws live, at 8 a.m., what is that, Central Time, I guess? Central Time, but no Daylight Savings Time, so 2 hours different from here. Anyway, we left quite early and spent the entire day planes, trains, and automobiling our way back to the Pacific Time Zone, and we did not arrive home until 10:30 Pacific Time. So it's a very long day of traveling, which doesn't make much sense. You know, you can get from Regina to Vancouver via plane in like 2 hours or whatever. But we, of course, were not blessed with a direct flight and got to spend a 4-hour layover in Edmonton International Airport, which is not actually in Edmonton, but is in fact in Leduc, much like the Vancouver airport is in Richmond. And which means that, you know, your 4-hour layover, you're just in the airport. We did the classic dinner at the airport Chili's after surveying all the options, a pretty decent black bean burger. We just wandered around and sat, and I came across in the Edmonton International Airport a short story dispenser, which is a wild idea. It's just a machine, and you push a button to select a 1 minute or 3 minute or 5 minute story, and it just prints one out for you on receipt paper. And so I obviously did that, and I selected a 5 minute story. You can hear me unrolling the receipt paper. And what I received was was in the contemporary fiction general audience section, genre, I suppose. And it's called Plum Tree by L.N. Hunter. And it's part of the short edition program at the Edmonton International Airport. L.N. Hunter shares an untidy home with two cats and a soulmate, and has been published in the Flame Tree Fiction Newsletter, Obscura and Trickster's Treats 3, amongst others. And Plum Tree, the story we're going to hear, is in Short Circuit number 5, which is Short Edition's quarterly review. So, with thanks to L.N. Hunter and the Edmonton International Airport, I'm going to read you a story. The Plum Tree by L.N. Hunter. I saw them once, when I was little, maybe age 4 or 5. The tree on the other side of the fence had branches stretching over our garden. It was too tall for me to reach the succulent, juicy plums that arrived every summer, but sometimes ripe ones would drop onto our lawn. I would gorge myself on them until I was sick. Mom would scold, telling me they were dirty and covered in germs, but I'd still eat them. One day, I'd gobbled so many that I had to lie down, kneading my sticky fingers into my stomach to relieve the pain. Eventually, the cramping subsided, and as sweat trickled across my cheeks and mingled with plum juice, I gazed up at the flickering patterns of the branches in the breeze. That's when I saw them. Tiny bodies with gossamer wings darted in and out of the branches, their sparrow-like twittering barely audible over the rustling of the leaves. At first, I thought they were insects, but their movements didn't look right. They hovered by the juiciest of the plums, not landing, and stretched out arms. Arms! To pull chunks off the fruit and shove them into their mouths. I pushed myself up on my elbows to get a closer look. They must have heard me because they froze in place, nothing moving apart from their flashing wings. Then, as one, they turned and darted over the fence. I groaned as my stomach reminded me of the 2 dozen plums I'd consumed. Closing my eyes, I slumped back onto the ground. A faint buzzing woke me. They were back. Some dug small holes in the skin of the plums to get the sweet flesh inside, while others watched me, the fat lump in the long grass, with plum juice smeared across my cheeks. One of them flew right up to my face, slim green body with no hair at all, 2 legs and 2 arms, ending in delicate hands like those of the marmosets I'd seen in the zoo, a pair of constantly flickering dragonfly wings, a pointy head with slitted cat eyes. It examined me, then chirruped, showing a mouth full of sharp teeth, before flying back to the tree. They all turned to me and chittered. It felt like they were laughing, mocking my clumsy body. Just then, a car backfired in the distance, and they disappeared into the foliage. Later, John, my brother, laughed when I told him I'd seen fairies in the garden. He said I must have eaten fermented plums, too greedy and too stupid to know when to stop stuffing my face. I lay under next door's plum tree the following day, waiting to catch another glimpse of them, and the day after that, and the one after, but they didn't return. Soon there were no more plums on Mrs. Goodall's tree. But when the first fruit started to ripen in early June the next year, I was out there, lying in the shade of the tree, until Mum shouted for me to come in for dinner. I waited every day until the final plum of the season fell, but saw nothing. The next year, I watched from my bedroom window. Sometimes I thought I saw them, but it turned out to be only a bird or a butterfly. I didn't bother to look the year after. Time passed, and friends in school took over, with sports in the evenings. Then came university and Chris. Dear sweet Chris. The accident happened in my second year. I can't remember who was driving or if we'd been drinking. I was unconscious for 4 weeks. Which gave my broken legs and smashed jaw some time to mend. I missed Chris's funeral. The nurses said that if I hadn't been so fat, well, padded was the euphemism they used, my injuries would have been much worse. Even so, they had to fit my legs with pins because plaster casts alone wouldn't keep the bones in the right position. When I came home, Mom and John moved my bed to the front room downstairs, since I couldn't manage the stairs. I spent my days shuffling from bed to sofa and back. Friends came all the way from university, but I got Mum to send them away. I didn't want anyone to look at me, and I didn't want to see anyone. It gave me a headache if I read too much, and the television was painful on my eyes, so I just pointed my gaze out the window, thinking about nothing. When I finally noticed it, all that was in front of me was Mrs. Goodall's tree. Bare at first, then leafy, and then it was full of fruit. Sometimes I'd see a flash of bright green among the branches, a sunbeam reflecting off a plum juice smeared leaf. Fairies don't exist. Chris doesn't exist. I wished I didn't exist. Weeks passed, and by the time the last fruit had fallen, The plum-colored bruises had faded from my face. The plaster casts came off, and physiotherapy started. I was in no fit state to return to university that year. Watching the plum tree start to lose its leaves, I wondered if I would return at all. What was the point? Although the winter cold made my bones ache, I learned how to use my legs again. I started off with a stick, but by spring, I needed it only for long walks, though I would never lose the limp. Mom looked tired all the time, and John angry. I think I annoyed them simply by being there, being useless. They gradually stopped asking me if I was going back to university. Mrs. Goodall's plums began to drop from the tree, lying on our lawn until they rotted. A feeling of disgust grew in me at the sight of them, and I went out with a basket and gardening gloves to clear up the mess. Chirping erupted above me, and I wrenched around so quickly that my knee twinged, lancing agony up my spine to burst in my head. I blacked out. When I came to, I was lying under the tree, staring up at the branches, watching insects flit from fruit to fruit. No, perhaps not insects. I blinked, but there was nothing among the leaves. I remained on my back under the tree for the rest of the afternoon. The following day, and the ones after that, I brought a blanket and lay beneath the thick branches, gazing at the patterns of light through breeze-ruffled leaves. Occasionally, a plum would land on the blanket beside me, and I'd pop it in my mouth. I even caught myself smiling as juice trickled across my cheek to tickle my ear, but I saw nothing apart from the leaves. I never did return to university. Instead, I got a job at the local car dealership and rental place, working at reception and carrying out office duties, and that was enough. At the end of the day, after dinner, I'd sit on a deck chair under the plum tree, drinking a beer or a glass of wine. It was important to keep a lookout for the fairies in the tree. Nothing would matter until I saw them again. Sometimes I dreamed that they would bring Chris back with them. Perhaps they could do that. Mom died. A sudden heart attack. I didn't miss this funeral. It was a small affair, just a few of her friends and John and me, all that remained of our family. Mrs. Goodall was there, too. I guess she must have been in her 90s then. That was the first time I saw John since he'd left home. Mom had bequeathed the house to both of us equally, but John said I could live in it until one of us actually needed the money. So far, we haven't. It's quiet in the house now, but that's fine with me. I know the fairies can't bring Mom back because I saw her depart, but I still wonder about Chris. Mrs. Goodall moved into an old folks' home, and her house had a for sale sign outside it for years. Eventually, someone bought it, but I've yet to meet them. I wonder if they'll cut down the plum tree. I hope not. I still sit in the garden on summer evenings, waiting and watching. But the fairies haven't come back. That's Plum Tree by L.N. Hunter. A relic from my trip to the Edmonton International Airport and their short story dispensing machine. So thanks, Edmonton International Airport. Thanks, L.N. Hunter. And thanks to you for having a listen to a short story. I will be right back.
This is Free Voices at CJSF 90.1 FM talking to you about
Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. We are 10 board of directors and we are rejoicing for world history. Our show is based on true stories, musical and storytelling and role playing. Silent Crimes Broken, very interesting series of show.
And a lot of in-depth oral tradition. We play every Thursday from 3 to 4. Come and join us.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. And now We're going to hear a little bit of music that I alluded to earlier. January of 1996 saw the release of these two albums that I'm going to play for you that are, in my mind anyway, both very emblematic of different parts of the sort of later 90s musical sound in, again, sort of different genres and different spheres. And one of these bands, I guess I can let the cat out of the bag. I'm talking about the records Heavy Petting Zoo by NoFX and Viva La Woman by Chibo Matto. And in my teenage years, which were, you know, a decade after this. No, I guess around the time. Well, I was 10 when these records came out. I had no conception of Chibo Matto, but NoFX came into my world via the ska and sort of pop punk stuff I was listening to and starting to play. And I didn't own any NoFX albums, but I definitely illegally downloaded lots of their songs on LimeWire and Napster and other such things. And so they were a regular rotation on my MP3 player. And, you know, a lot of modern pop punk has taken influence from NoFX. Definitely more on the pop side than a lot of, you know, your classic punk. NoFX will get dismissed as too poppy by true punk heads and too punky by pop people, sort of in that middle ground. And, you know, very much embraced that punk ethos. The back of this record's Heavy Petting Zoo's insert says, "No thanks to MTV. Quit bugging us. Major labels, quit bugging us. Commercial radio stations, quit playing us. We've been doing just fine all these years without you, so leave us the F word alone." And, you know, very contrasted very strongly by Chibo Matto, who were darlings of MTV and had some college rocks, college radio hits. Their record "Viva La Woman," I had no concept of this as until fairly recently, only maybe hearing it referenced to. Listened to the album "Viva La Woman" and was blown away by how modern it sounds. There's a lot of trip hop and hip hop stuff in here. Very cool. Anyway, I'm running out of time to do this, so I'm going to play both of them for you. We're going to start with a track from the NoFX record "Heavy Petting Zoo" that has, you know, was a favorite since my teenage years. This is "Filthy Phil Philanthropist" by NoFX.
real philanthropist. You've taken when you should've given away. Filthy feel you gave to us, we cannot repay.
Jerky by Chibo Matto from the record Viva La Woman. Before that, Filthy Phil, Philanthropist by NoFX.